VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us today for a news roundup day on the broadcast. A number of stories collected from across the nation and some from around the world as well to keep us informed on some of the goings-on. Some of these stories are little reported in major media across the nation and wanted to bring much to your attention. We're going to be starting out with the coronavirus here today. A shocking story from DailyWire.com. The Florida State Health Department confirmed Tuesday that some testing labs in the state had not been disclosing their negative novel coronavirus testing results accurately, skewing the positivity rates dramatically. Moreover, two labs were discovered to have inflated their positivity rates of the virus by a factor of 10. Countless labs have reported a 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs had very high positivity rates, Fox 35 explained Tuesday, noting that one local CentraCare lab reported all 83 people tested were found to have the virus, and NCF Diagnostics reported 88% of their tests were positive. While the news station investigated the suspect, astronomical findings, and found that the data was skewed by the lack of reported negative tests. For example, Orlando Veterans Medical Center's reported positivity rate of 76% is actually around 6%, a spokesperson for the center revealed. The report added that Orlando's health positivity rate is only 9.4%, not the 98% as in the report. The Florida Department of Health confirmed Tuesday that although private and public labs are required to report positive and negative results to the state immediately, some have not, Fox 35 reported. And so this is a part of the skewing of numbers that is taking place. Also from townhall.com, Beth Bauman makes us aware that California, a county in California, their numbers were inflated. During the peak of the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic in April and May, Orange County, California healthcare officials reported inaccurate numbers. For more than 5 weeks, the county incorrectly included 30,000 serology tests that's used to detect whether or not a person has antibodies for the virus, suggesting they previously had an infection into their test-to-date figures. Well, the Los Angeles Times reported that. The mistake inflated both the county's testing numbers and the number of positive Wuhan coronavirus cases. According to the Orange County Register, the mistake inflated the county's coronavirus numbers by 13%. Huge, huge. Let's see. This came from the Sheboygan Press. Interesting story. It's part of the USA Today network. All but two Wisconsin counties have had at least a medium level of COVID-19 activity, and most have a high level, according to the Department of Health Services updated rating. State Health Department officials also reported 821 more confirmed cases Wednesday, down from a single-day record of 964 Tuesday, but still the fourth most in a day since the pandemic began. In brighter news, the percentage of new tests that were positive for the coronavirus fell for a fourth straight day to 5.9%. And the state also reported a lone new death, for a total to date of 827 Wisconsin lives lost to the virus. Although July has accounted for more than a quarter of the state's confirmed COVID-19 cases, only 5% of total deaths happened during the month. During the dramatic increase in newly reported cases, hospital inpatient levels also remain well below those seen in late May and early June. Now, I find this interesting because every time you flip on the news, we see the spike in cases, new cases, and that's the headline. Wisconsin sees 821 new coronavirus cases, but rarely do they report about the number of deaths, that it is declining. Matter of fact, you have to go down into the article to find that there had just been one lone death that had been reported in all of this. And I'd like to challenge you sometime, rather than look at these charts where they continue to map out all the positives of coronavirus, look at the death chart and just put in your search engine a corona deaths by date chart, And folks, it's astonishing to see what you'll find when that happens. Oh, you'll see the peak, but you'll see also the decline, a dramatic decline that's been happening as far as that is concerned. Also, when you take a look at hospitalizations across the country as well, number of people hospitalized and number of deaths, those are numbers you need to be looking at. CNSnews.com points out that medical experts have long noted that the younger you are, the less likely you are to contract COVID-19 or suffer adverse symptoms. And the latest numbers posted by the CDC bear that out. Their National Center for Health Statistics now reports a total of 188 COVID-involved deaths among people age 24 and younger. That is 0.154%. The total of just over 121,000 COVID deaths. So less than 1%, about a tenth, between a tenth and 0.2% are reported in that age bracket. And this is CDC from early February through the week ending July 11th. And by a contrast, a total of over 97,000 people aged 65 and older have died of COVID as of July 11th. That's 80.29% of the total COVID-involved deaths. From WND.com, the New York Times being sued. Sued for $10 million for reporting during the COVID-19 pandemic that students at Liberty University were victims after university officials decided to reopen campus after a break. Paul Bedard's Washington Secrets column of the Washington Examiner reported that in a 100-page suit filed in Virginia's Lynchburg Circuit Court, the university charged that New York Times editor Elizabeth Williamson and photographer Julia Rendelman ignored no trespassing signs to tour the campus and was trying to keep away outsiders who might be infected. Liberty claims the Times falsely charged that students returning from spring break became infected with the coronavirus because the university remained open. In fact, here's the important point, no student, staffer, or faculty member on campus became infected, Bedard reported. From the WesternJournal.com, a Chinese virology expert says China's government was well aware of the deadly nature of the coronavirus long before it admitted that it knew of human-to-human transmission and that her efforts to blow the whistle were muzzled. This is Dr. Li Mengyan, a specialist in virology and immunology at the Hong Kong School of Public Health, now in hiding somewhere in the United States in fear of her life. But she told her story to Fox News. She said that she had to leave everyone she loved behind because if I tell it in Hong Kong, the moment I start to tell it, I will be disappeared and killed. No one can hear from me. So for this purpose, I like to go to the U.S. and tell the truth of the origins of COVID-19 to the world, she said. This is about whether all humans in the world can survive, she said. She blamed the failure to spread the alarm and the findings on the corruption among the kind of international organizations like the World Health Organization, to the China government, and to China Communist Party government. From the Associated Press, leaders of a rural Nevada church asking the U.S. Supreme Court to suspend the state's 50-person cap on religious gatherings, while an appellate court considers their claim that COVID-19 restrictions treating casinos and others more leniently violate their constitutional right. The governor on June 4th gave a directive allowing casinos, restaurants, bowling alleys, and amusement parks to reopen at 50% capacity while maintaining a hard cap for church services simply turns the First Amendment on its head. Lawyers for Calvary Chapel in Dayton Valley wrote at the request of the High Court for an emergency injunction. And coming from the Western Journal, the California Department of Health clarified Tuesday that indoor religious services in the state have been suspended indefinitely. Over 4 months after California instituted a lockdown on March 19th, the state issued a new order on Monday that rolled back reopening plans, but the guidance mandates that restaurants, bars, churches, fitness centers, hair salons, and barbershops must be closed in 30 of the hardest hit counties in California. Western Journal also reporting that the office of Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner posted a series of tweets Wednesday morning announcing the cancellation of the Texas GOP convention because of the coronavirus threat. But when another group of people had a large gathering in the city in the midst of coronavirus, he felt a bit differently. Just a month ago, Turner seemed to have no problem with mass gatherings after he joined a crowd of 60,000 people following the this was in the protests following the death of George Floyd, KTVT television had reported. Let's see, from News 4 in San Antonio, the Texas Division of Emergency Management advising residents to consider wearing a mask at all times, even in your own home. In an interview with Ryan Wolf, Chief Nim Kidd said as much, adding to the community has paid attention and done well outside their homes, but he said it's not enough. We still need people to wear the mask out in public. We still need people to keep social distance and isolation, Kidd said. One thing I want to try to get across today is that we need to do that when we're in our homes also. Can you imagine just wearing a mask all the time in your home as well? CNSNews.com reporting Senator Rand Paul, staunch proponent of individual responsibility and freedom, says every American should assess the risk associated with the coronavirus pandemic and make the choices that suit them. He's a physician and said both the economy and the schools should open and stay open. He also indicated that as congressional Democrats push another multi-trillion coronavirus relief package, Senator Paul is warning we've run out of money. He said there's no rainy day fund, there's no savings account. The $3 trillion we have already sent to people because of this government-mandated depression has been borrowed. Where are they going to get another $1 trillion? They're going to borrow it. He said the source of the economic depression is the government and the government shutdown of the economy. The government, and particularly the governors, need to get out of the way, let the economy open up, and let individuals assess their risk and act accordingly. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons says there's stunning positive news on hydroxychloroquine that was released in early July, potentially opening up medical freedom. During the first 6 days of July, six positive clinical studies of HCQ were released, three from the U.S., three from other countries. All six studies show that hydroxychloroquine given early in COVID-19 alone or with zinc and zithromycin reduces hospitalizations and deaths with no serious heart or other adverse events. Most media ignored these six positive studies, continue to focus on fear-mongering about HCQ dangers from now discredited, poorly designed, and seriously flawed reports on use in critically ill hospitalized patients. That's coming from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Western Journal reporting White House trade advisor Peter Navarro tore into Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, in a scathing op-ed published Tuesday. Navarro, who's known for being outspoken, attacked Fauci for his perceived failings with regard to coronavirus response, writing that the doctor has been wrong about everything. In late July, he said he was making the case on behalf of the president to take down the flights from China. Fauci fought against the president's courageous decision, which might well have saved hundreds of thousands of American lives, he wrote. He continued saying, writing that he sounded the alarm about a coming pandemic as Fauci was on television telling media not to worry. He said, when I was working feverishly on behalf of the president in February to help engineer the fastest industrialized mobilization of the healthcare sector in our history, Fauci was still telling the public that China virus was low risk, Navarro wrote. When we were building new mask capacity in record time, Fauci was flip-flopping on the use of masks. Navarro also asked Fauci for brushing off the potential efficacy of the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine. A White House spokesperson asserted, though, Wednesday that Navarro's op-ed was not approved by the Trump administration before it was published. He says now Fauci says a falling mortality rate does not matter when it is the single most important statistic to help guide the pace of our economic reopening. The lower the mortality rate, the faster and more we can open, Navarro wrote. So when you ask me whether I listen to Dr. Fauci's advice, my answer is, quote, only with skepticism and caution. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in the salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, they would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a news roundup day on Crosstalk here on VCY America, and just a couple more stories dealing with the coronavirus and masking and so forth. This is from thenewamerican.com. Cayuga County, Ohio has rolled out a hotline for residents to snitch on those of their neighbors who do not wear masks. In line with an executive order by Governor Mike DeWine, County Executive Armand Budish made the announcement during telling the people of Cayuga County that individuals who witness others not wearing a mask in public spaces should make complaints to the new hotline or file on the website titled Mask Experience. Report your neighbors. The vaccine reaction, reporting that senior White House officials reported that U.S. service members would be among the first Americans to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. After it's been licensed, officials said the groups likely to receive the vaccine first include the most vulnerable people, such as the elderly, patients with underlying health conditions, employees in essential businesses, and the U.S. military. Operation Warp Speed, underway at the federal level in response to COVID-19, has a goal of delivering 300 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine by January of 2021. LifeSiteNews.com reporting that there are universities that are going to be mandating vaccination as educational institutions grapple with the decision whether to reopen in light of the COVID-19 matter. Several universities have announced plans to require students to be vaccinated and or commit to social distancing as a condition of returning to campus. Harvard University, University of Tennessee, Knoxville have both announced that they will require students to receive seasonal flu vaccine, the College Fix reported, with the latter also saying it may require a COVID-19 vaccine as well once it's developed and proven to be safe and effective. In addition, Harvard will require students to participate in routine COVID-19 testing and wear masks in public spaces, among other restrictions. Cornell, Princeton, University of Colorado Boulder have all announced that they are imposing numerous new rules on students living or gathering on campus. A story from CBN.com, tensions between the United States and China seem to be growing by the day, prompting some in Washington to worry about a potential military conflict between the two countries within the next 6 months. The latest flashpoint is the vital waterways of the South China Sea. For the first time, the U.S. government this week declared that China's activities in the South China Sea are illegal. On Monday, for the first time, we made our policy on the South China Sea crystal clear, said Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State. It's not China's maritime empire. Representative Ted Yoho, the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee for Asia, sees potential military action ahead, telling the Washington Examiner, quote, I would predict there will be a clash within the next 3 to 6 months. Roughly $3 trillion of trade passes through that South China Sea each year. From FoxNews.com, Portland, Oregon protesters early Wednesday began to set up tents in the park near the federal courthouse, barricaded streets to create their own autonomous zone. They are reporting that demonstrators throwing glass bottles, pointed lasers at officers, set fire to what was left of a barricade. Police. Several minutes later, a demonstrator extinguished the fire and several demonstrators began to rebuild the barricade. Interesting. Let's go on to CNSNews.com. Former U.S. Army Green Beret Kyle Daniels has developed an American flag designed to thwart those who try to burn it during the violent anti-American protest taking place across the country. When Kyle returned from his final tour of duty, he was dismayed by the latest bout of flag burning, so he spent the next 2 years researching and developing a first-of-its-kind flag that is tough enough to withstand protesters' attempts to burn it. On Flag Day 2020, June 14th, a veteran-owned company founded by Kyle, Firebrand Flags, introduced its 100% fire-retardant flag. Made from Kevlar and Nomex, the same fabrics worn by service members and first responders, the flag will not burn, they report. Let's go to CNSNews.com. As gun violence and murders continue to spike in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio declared Wednesday that his city is safe and better because the number of criminals in jail is at the lowest level since 1946. De Blasio made the claim at a signing ceremony for six new police reform bills, but as CNSNews.com has reported, the number of murder, shootings, and burglaries in New York City all jumped in June. According to the NYPD, there have been 130% increase in the number of shooting incidents across New York City between June 1st and June 30th compared to the same time last year. The number of people murdered increased 30%. The number of burglaries rose 118%. The number of auto thefts rose 51%. Last weekend, 35 people shot in the city, up from five just a year earlier, Fox News reports. But de Blasio says the city is safe and better because the number of criminals in jail is at the lowest level since 1946. The Free Beacon is reporting white nationalist and child murderer Daniel Lewis Lee put to death Tuesday morning following a late-night wave of legal disputes that's come to typify the push to restart the federal death penalty. His death makes him the first federal prisoner to be executed since 2003. Fox News then also reporting that the U.S. carried out its second federal execution this week by killing Wesley Ira Perkey on Thursday by lethal injection. He was kidnapped and killed a 16-year-old girl and other horrific things, which we'll not get into. He was also convicted in a state court in Kansas after killing an 80-year-old woman. His lawyers contended he had dementia and was unfit to be executed. From FoxNews.com, Berkeley, California, moved forward with a proposal Wednesday to eliminate police from conducting traffic stops and instead send unarmed civilian city workers. The proposal, part of a broad overhaul of law enforcement, the city council has set a goal of cutting the police budget by 50%. The council approved the measure. The proposal calls to spend $160,000 from the city's auditor's budget to assess police calls and $200,000 to hire consultants to examine the department's policies. 2 weeks ago, Berkeley became the latest city to partially defund its police department, with the council slashing the budget by 12%, $9.2 million. But Berkeley here, moving to stop police from conducting traffic stops and using civilian city workers instead. Let's go on to another story here from the Daily Wire. Leaders in the black community in New York City calling on the New York City Police Department to deal with the recent crime surge in the city by reinstating the plainclothes anti-crime unit that the department has recently dismantled as anti-police sentiment exploded in the wake of the death of George Floyd. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, he's a former cop, became the second member of the African-American community to call on the NYPD to stop the violence by reinstituting the anti-crime unit. Some of these things aren't going to be possible. When you've got a mayor that's bent on defunding and crime begins to escalate, but now some are beginning to see the light and saying, no, please do not dismantle. We need this unit. To show you how far some of this anti-police mentality is going, from WND.com, Ford CEO Jim Hackett firmly rejected a request by a group of employees for the automaker to stop making police cars. That's right. Ford has been receiving pressure to stop making police cars. The employees opened their letter to Hackett and Chairman Bill Ford, declaring throughout history, the vehicles that Ford employees designed and built have been used as accessories to police brutality and oppression. Daily Wire reporting on Wednesday, the National Association of Police Organizations, which backed Barack Obama and Joe Biden in 2008 and 2012, issued an open letter endorsing President Trump for re-election, thanking him for his steadfast support for law enforcement. Here is an interesting story, a very positive story. It's out of a small-town church in Tennessee. They are receiving nationwide attention. What did they do? They honored their local police department in a public ceremony and gave a $1,000 gift to every officer. The congregation, it's Lighthouse Baptist Church, Jonesboro, Tennessee. They wanted to encourage the officers in light of criticism police have been receiving nationally. And they honored the force of 23 officers. It was a ceremony that was so unique that the pastor, Perry Cleek, was invited to the White House for a July 13th event on law enforcement. He and his church landed on this idea, a public ceremony to honor the local department. At least one of the officers who got his $1,000 check donated a check to an elderly woman in need. The pastor said he received a note from an 83-year-old widower who said one of the officers brought by a sum of money so he could pay my utility bills this winter. The officer told her it was a gift from Lighthouse Baptist Church. Coming from Western Journal, the Trump administration has rejected Minnesota's request for federal aid to repair damage inflicted on Minneapolis and St. Paul after the death of George Floyd. Governor Tim Walz, a member of the state's Democratic Farmer Labor Party, announced earlier this month that he was asking the Federal Emergency Management Agency for the funds. He noted in a release that nearly 1,500 Twin Cities businesses were damaged by vandalism, fire, or looting that took place during the violent protest. His request included more than $15 million to help local governments respond to costs related to the wave of arsons that took place. Said the full cost of the damage inflicted by mobs totaled more than $500 million. A spokesman for Walz made the announcement that the request was denied, according to Minneapolis Star Tribune. FEMA explained its decision, saying after a thorough review of Minnesota's request for a major disaster declaration from extensive fire damage as a result of civil unrest in late May and early June, it was determined that the impact to public infrastructure is within the capabilities of the local and state governments to recover from. The governor has 30 days to appeal this decision. Troubling story out of California, Western Journal reporting more than 100,000 mail-in ballots rejected by California election officials during the March presidential primary, according to data obtained by the Associated Press. California, one of a number of states increasing mail-in balloting, ostensibly to avoid crowds at polling places amid the pandemic. Well, President Trump is among those questioning the integrity of vote-by-mail elections, while supporters claim that they're just as reliable as polling places. Well, California Secretary of State's election data obtained by the AP showed 102,428 mail-in ballots were disqualified in the state's 58 counties. That's about 1.5% of the nearly 7 million mail-in ballots returned. That percentage is the highest in the primary since 2014. This is the highest number since 2010. Very interesting, but more than 100,000 ballots rejected. Some had a missing signature. Some were not postmarked on time. On and on it goes. WND.com reporting Joe Biden, who billed himself in the Democratic presidential primary as a moderate choice, continues nonetheless to adopt the platform of his party's far left, echoing the concern of AOC that irreversible climate change is imminent without action, saying in a campaign speech Tuesday, Vice President Biden said, "Science tells us that we have 9 years before the damage is irreversible." He pledged to spend $2 trillion over 4 years to boost clean energy and tackle climate change. He said America's objective should be to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Said climate change is a challenge that's going to define our future. And if elected, we're not just going to tinker around the edges. He promised to restore 100 public health and environmental rules that President Trump has eliminated. And he said he'd also rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement. From the New American, Joe Biden intends to spend more than $2 trillion to transform the energy infrastructure. That's according to the plan rolled out. He wants Americans driving energy-efficient vehicles. He wants to create an environmental and climate justice division within the Department of Justice. And he will also direct his EPA and DOJ to pursue the cases to the fullest extent permitted by law, and when needed, seek additional legislation to hold corporate executives personally accountable, including jail time, where merited. Interesting, putting corporate execs into jail for being so-called big polluters. I've got some more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day. We'll be right back.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I'd like to get some more stories in here today. Then we'll open up phone lines, give you an opportunity to comment. Supreme Court said Wednesday, this is from Western Journal, that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg discharged from the hospital after being treated for a possible infection. Court spokeswoman said in the emailed statement that Ginsburg was home and doing well. Now, breaking today, Fox News reports that Justice Ginsburg has been undergoing chemotherapy treatment since May because of a recurrence of cancer. I have often said I would remain a member of the court as long as I can do the job full steam, Ginsburg said. I remain fully able to do that. Justice Ginsburg is 87 years old, we understand. LifeSiteNews.com. A new study on global population trends by researchers at University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation has concluded that falling fertility rates will lead to a dramatic decline in global population by the end of the century. Professor Christopher Murray, one of the authors of the study published in The Lancet, told the BBC that findings are jaw-dropping, that in 1950 an average of 4.7 children were being born for every woman, but that by 2017 that number has fallen to 2.4 and is expected to continue to fall significantly in the coming years. In many countries, a fertility rate already beneath 2.1, that's the minimum average number needed for a population to replace itself, and population expected to reach all-time highs and then expected to peak before rapidly declining later this century. Japan, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Thailand, and South Korea are among 23 countries expected to see their population more than half by the year 2100. Troubling story came out today from the Christian Post. Christian children's book author Matthew Paul Turner came out as homosexual on social media and announces that he and his wife are divorcing as he seeks to embrace freedom, hope, and God as a gay man. Turner is the former editor of CCM, that's a magazine covering contemporary Christian music, and the author of best-selling children's books made the announcement on Facebook and Instagram this morning. Turner, whose 2019 children's book, When I Pray for You, is a Today Publishers Weekly and Wall Street Journal bestseller, said he plans to continue writing children's books, though, with Convergent Books as his publisher. His book, When God Made You, was an Evangelical Christian Publishing Association bestseller and described as, oh, the places you'll go meets the divine, by recording artist Amy Grant. Turner has been described as one of the most influential progressive Christian voices in media, the author of 16 books, including The Christian Culture Survival Guide, The Coffeehouse Gospel, and Provocative Faith. Turner previously served as the entertainment editor for Crosswalk and was a frequent contributor to Relevant magazine. Do you look forward to those Hallmark movies? Some watching the Hallmark Christmas in July going on? The headline should reach your attention today. Hallmark movies soon to include LGBT storylines, officials said. Upcoming Hallmark movies will include LGBTQ storylines, characters, and actors as part of a company-wide strategy to promote diversity, an official with the parent company of Hallmark Channel says. George Zerlitis, the vice president of the network program publicity at Hallmark's parent company Crown Media Family Networks, made the comments to NBC News the same day Crown Media announced a slate of new original movies for Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries for 2020-2021. The story says among the new movies are 13 for Hallmark Channel's Countdown to Christmas series and 5 original films for Hallmark Movies and Mysteries' Miracle of Christmas franchise. I'd hear what you have to say about Hallmark soon to include LGBTQ storylines in their films. Also, GLAAD, this is the New York Post, released its 2020 Studio Responsibility Index, which examines and reports the quantity, the quality, and diversity of LGBTQ characters in the highest theatrical grossing films released in 2019. The study took a look at 8 studios and 4 of their subsidiaries. Of the 118 films released in 2019, 22 of them, that's 18.6%, included characters that were lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and or queer. That marks the highest percentage of inclusive LGBTQ inclusive films since the reported launch 8 years ago. Looking at The Hill, there's a historical number of LGBTQ plus candidates running for office during this election year. In June, West Virginia elected the state's first openly transgender official to local office. Now Louisiana has elected its first openly transgender woman to a political position with the state's Democratic Party. There are currently 26 openly transgendered elected officials in the U.S., according to the LGBTQ Victory Fund, but more on their way. In this 2020 election cycle, there's at least, now keep in mind, there are 26 openly serving right now transgender elected officials. In the 2020 election cycle, at least 850 LGBTQ plus candidates have appeared or will appear on ballots in the United States, almost twice as many as the 2018 cycle. Washington Examiner reporting asylum seekers who arrive at the southern border and claim to be LGBT are exempt from the U.S.-Mexico Remain in Mexico policy and will not be returned to Mexico to await the decisions by U.S. immigration judges, several U.S. border officials told the Examiner. Mexican immigration is not taking anybody back into Mexico under the Migration Protection Protocols program that's identifying as part of the LGBT community. If they say they're gay or bisexual, any of these, Mexico won't take them back, one official said. Interesting news from LifeSiteNews.com, where the Catholic University of Notre Dame has announced the hiring of Pete Buttigieg, a pro-abortion homosexual who's married to another man, I put that in quotes, as a 2020-2021 faculty fellow at the Notre Dame Institute for Advanced Study. Buttigieg is the former South Bend mayor who ran as a Democratic presidential candidate. Planned Parenthood votes is backing presumptive Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden with a 5-figure digital ad campaign in key battleground states. As the former vice president prepares to face off with President Trump, the nation's largest abortion provider's political arm is launching ads in Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Colorado, Arizona, Florida, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, reports LifeNews.com. Also from LifeNews, Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee has promised Tuesday to do whatever it takes to defend unborn babies from a lawsuit filed by several prominent pro-abortion groups. And he is going to he signed this omnibus pro-life bill earlier in the week. It's been challenged. It was blocked just 45 minutes later by a judge. And he has vowed to move on and to fight this. Let's open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Daily Signal reporting as Congress gears up to debate another round of COVID-19 economic relief, Democrats are expected to renew their calls for a federal bailout of struggling states. Data from government transparency sites, usually maintained by state treasurers or comptrollers, show that over the course of the last 4 fiscal years, states have been paid out more than $300 million to Planned Parenthood affiliates. Now, some of the biggest contributors are asking for federal money to cover their non-pandemic-related budget shortfalls. Governors Larry Hogan of Maryland, Andrew Cuomo of New York, who lead the National Governors Association, asked Congress in April for $500 billion to bail out states. Maryland has paid an average nearly $4 million per year to Planned Parenthood affiliates, while New York's numbers are even higher, totaling a whopping $115 million over the last 4 fiscal years. Isn't that something? You got to bail us out. You got to bail us out. Where they're giving their money away to Planned Parenthood that kills unborn babies in the womb. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. East Troy, William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, I just wanted to thank all of our police officers and sheriffs across the country for all the great work that they do and help protect us and keep us safe. But I wanted to comment on the story I heard about the mayor of Chicago. She recently came out and said all the violence down in Chicago is because we have a lack of or they have a lack of gun laws in Chicago. And if I'm not mistaken, Chicago has the most stringent gun laws in the entire country already. And I don't know how you're going to help lawless people, apart from the gospel, understand that more laws aren't going to help the gun issue there. How come Black Lives Matter also isn't outcrying all of these violent murders between people in South Chicago? It just seems that, you know, as you're lawless, and at one point before I came to Christ, I was lawless. But when you don't have an understanding of the truth, you have a rejection of the law. And if we would teach our young people some of the Ten Commandments, like obey authority, honor your parents, don't steal, don't kill, that would be a huge impact on our society. So I'm just very concerned about the people in South Chicago right now and the violence there, and we just need to be prayerful for our nation. So
indeed,
thank you for bringing all these stories to our attention today.
Thank you, William. Appreciate your call. Yes, I saw the story there with, of course, the gun violence in Chicago just off the charts. They've got some of the most stringent gun laws in the nation, and the answer from Mayor Lightfoot is we need more gun control. Well, let's go to Joe next in New Mexico. You're on the air, Joe.
Yes, I wanted to comment a little bit. You said a little bit on the new upcoming stimulant or whatever they're looking at. I think, if anything, that would help our president to help the people that are unemployed or whatever. So that would be a plus if they do it at the strategic time. And then another thing is the upcoming election. It's statistically well known that it's hard to beat an incumbent president. However, the pandemic is not. But I think the research on the vaccines and that is just moving so fast that I think our president, through our prayers and supplications, I mean, we'd be able to keep him for another stretch. And then by then we can see what unfolds as far as prophecies and all that. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for your call here today. But as Senator Rand Paul pointed out, we don't have money to give out in stimulus. And certainly, one would need to check motives for giving out funds for the purpose of reelection. Something doesn't, you know, strike right with me there. But certainly we need to take a look at this aspect. But money is being printed. And folks, there's going to be a time when that rooster's, coming home to roost here. And certainly we need to take that into account. Barbara in Onalaska, you're on the air. Barbara, you're on the air. Okay, let's go to Charlene and Cudahy. Charlene, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to pray for my niece is a police officer at UW-Madison, and I want to pray for her and her team, and also for all the other police officers in Wisconsin and Cudahy mm-hmm. and United States.
Thank you, Charlene. We've got Leroy in Atlanta. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Black Lives Matter and black-on-black crime. Black Lives Matter is not going to address black-on-black crime because they don't care about black people. Actually, it's, the phrase means one thing. The organization is something completely different.
Yes.
Instead of trying to bring them to task on black-on-black crime, ask BLM why don't they have protests at abortion clinics, because abortion kills more black people than black-on-black crime. We got white-on-white crime and, the kind of crime.
You're right. You're right.
Put them in abortion.
Hmm. You're right, Leroy. The numbers are staggering as to number of black babies that are killed in abortion. And there is a film that has documented so much of this. It's Ma'afa 21, Life Dynamics putting that out. But thank you for the call. Indeed, you've made some great points. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Judy Mikovits. She's the author of yet another book. This one, The Case Against Masks, 10 Reasons That Wearing a Mask Should Be Limited. She goes into the scientific detail about, well, what happens when you wear a mask and breathe in your own breath. What happens when you wear a mask? Are you really stopping the spread of the coronavirus? Well, as one doctor has said, putting up a chain link fence and thinking you're stopping mosquitoes is crazy. But it's the same thing with the mask. The virus is so small, and the pores in the average mask are so big. So what's really going on here? Is it just fake science, or is this about control? Is this the social sciences of group consensus to destroy individuality, to condition the people to go along with whatever the government tells them to do? Isn't it time the American people start asking tough questions? Maybe they should read The Case Against Masks by Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Harry is talking about the war on black babies here in the United States. I just went to the website numberofabortions.com, and they have statistics as to how many abortions occurred in the U.S. today, how many since Roe v. Wade, etc. But one of their fields of keeping records is the number of black babies since 1973 Roe in the U.S. have been killed by abortion. Listen to this number. It is in excess of 18,629,000 babies. Black babies since Roe v. Wade in 1973 that have been killed by abortion. Let's go to Rich in Burlington. You're on the air.
This seems like a very minor, inconsequential statistic, but I think it's important for people to realize as we're looking at mail-in ballots in the fall and why it's being pushed. If you were to go to the United States Postal Service Employees Union and look at what their political contributions are, they are, and I think it was in the 2018 cycle, 81% of it went to the Democratic Party, 21% went to the Republican Party. Hmm. So if you're considering the legitimacy and the security of an election, when it's the security rests in the hands of people that have very obviously been committed to strongly to the Democratic Party, I'm not saying every postal worker would do something devious, but you're just begging for trouble.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts on that issue, Rich. Barbara in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I was interested in America being called to fast. It should start with the pastors of every denomination, but the ones that are not doing it, the President Lincoln, President Roosevelt, and President Reagan, and I think there was even one or two more. But those presidents called for a fast. And if the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name would repent and turn from their wicked ways, I would heal their land. And the virus could be wiped out just like that. Please pray that President Trump, I don't know where he's getting his advice, but to my knowledge, I have not heard him ask for fasting, or has he? And I just have not heard it.
Well, I know he's asked for days of prayer here, Barbara, and certainly the aspect of fast does not have to come from a national leader. It can come right from your own heart. And as you yourself commit to fast and to pray, as God lays that upon your heart, that is certainly something that there is nothing that bars that from taking place. Thank you for the call. We've got Eddie next in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. I believe you're 100% right about the coronavirus being misrepresented. I believe they're trying to defeat the president by any means possible. And the other thing I had was about the death of Judge George Floyd. I believe that was staged. They wanted to be recorded. I believe it was just like a play. You know, most times something like that's going on, they try to hide it. It'd be a pretty gruesome way to go about it. Black Lives Matter protest is just a front for the Antifa and the Communist and Socialist Party. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what you do, brother.
Okay, Eddie, thank you. And just keep in mind that the Black Lives Matter, there's a vast difference between skin color and believing Black Lives Matter and the agenda of the organization of Black Lives Matter. McQuanago, Wisconsin. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jim. Earlier in the week, Brandon House did an interview with a doctor, and they were talking about the risks of wearing masks. And I'm wondering, if the information about wearing the masks is true, why don't we hear the same thing from the CDC?
Well, I believe, from Anthony Fauci, early on we were hearing that not to wear masks, and there have been different warnings that came out early on, and then the change. And one of the problems that has brought great confusion across the nation is the constantly changing information on these these very matters here. And I know there's been a number of doctors and physicians that have been putting out warnings in regard to the mask.
Oh, okay. And are you familiar with, Jim, how to go about getting that tag that you can wear that says you don't need to wear a mask?
I don't have that, but I know that's something Brandon covered. You can contact him through worldviewweekend.com. Thank you. Richard in Morgantown, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I'm a truck driver currently on the road, so forgive me if my signal comes in and out here. Wanted to comment on the LGBTQ installations of the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
I used to have the Hallmark app on my phone because it's the only way I could get entertainment out on the road. And I was made aware of this last year, and I wrote them a letter, an email, and they fired back saying basically they were going to pursue with that direction. And so I canceled that app. And so this has been in the pipeline for a while, unfortunately.
Yes.
And rather than Hallmark, I switched over to the PureFlix app. I'm not surprised that it's actually coming out on TV now.
Yep. They're going full force here with the new films that they're producing and announcing for 2020-2021.
Yes, sir. Also on this, the Black Lives Matter, and they're, I think they're also having some issues with this Antifa. With all their guns and everything, you know, they were all about the unfortunate deaths of these black folks, and I understand, but you know, there was this young lady killed the other day. I saw in the news for stating that all lives matter.
Yes.
And she was the confrontation ended, and she was basically shot in the head from a bridge.
Yeah.
But you know, we're not writing about that.
Yeah.
You know, and so apparently not all lives matter, you know, according to the governors who are allowing all this rioting.
Thank you, Richard. I got to run here. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. That one caller about Black Lives Matter hit the nail right on the head. Black Lives Matter couldn't care less about black lives. What they're after are mainly four things, the way I see it. They want chaos and violence. They want communist tyranny as in place of government. They're pro-homosexual, and they want that kind of policy. And they've got an intense hatred for Israel and Christians.
Hmm. And you'll find many of those very tenets in their own documents, Brad.
Yeah, but people still want to believe that Black Lives Matter really cares about black lives. They just won't look at the evidence.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
We're down to just seconds, and apologize to other callers here, but we have run out of time. We appreciate you joining us today for this news roundup day here on Crosstalk as we pull together a number of stories, a number of resources to keep you informed on critical matters, and certainly to burden our hearts to be in prayer for our nation. You see, Scripture says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.